Welcome to episode 2 of the Nerdcast podcast version 2.0. This week, Toner no-showed on us, and it was Matt and I left this week to talk about football, both the big game coming up this weekend, the XFL. We talk a lot about Marvel movies, the new Ant-Man and Wasp preview. We talk about integrating the Fox movies in. Toner hadn't seen it, so this gave Matt and I an opportunity to talk about The Last Jedi. Before we get to that, though, I have a sponsor this week. It's podopedia.org. If you listen to or create podcasts, create wikis for those podcasts on podopedia.org. Podcast wikis can store information about podcast episodes, such as transcripts, summaries, and fan art. And it allows creators and fans of podcasts to work together to inform new and current listeners alike. To create your own podcast wiki, go to podopedia.org. It's podopedia.org. Super Bowl Sunday. Have you even followed football this year? I mean, my thought on the NFL.
I think I've watched like 20 minutes of football this year, I think. Okay, to be honest.
I've watched a couple games here and there, but yeah, uh-huh. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in commercials. I mean, NFL just isn't important anymore after they took my team from me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just enjoy the college game more, and I'm more invested in that, to be honest with you. So, I've been asked about doing, you know, squares. You know, that's the where you pick squares for a Super Bowl party thing or at work. And I have no interest. In the commercials, I'll be like, I'll see the commercials online the next day if I really want to.
Yeah.
If anything, if I do anything for the Super Bowl, it'd be more along the lines of just get together to eat food, talk, you know, social. It's more of a social event. That's what it's always been, though. It's a more social event than the only time I've ever cared about the game was when the Rams were in it. And now that they're not here anymore, I don't care, you know.
Yeah, we're going to a party, too, but it's also a beer share. And so okay. I think we're going to be standing around trying different beers more than paying attention to the game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what, it's Patriots and Eagles is who it is?
Yeah.
And I'm the Patriots again. Who? Yay, boo. You know it's boring. I hate it when it's the same teams over and over. There's no, you know, diversity in the sport. So if it's going to be them over and over, thanks.
I'm still mad about the Super Bowl and what was it, 2001? When they beat the Rams.
Yeah.
So, if there's one thing I'd root for, it's Chris Long getting a Super Bowl championship after playing so many shitty years in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just an all around good guy, and he deserves it before he hangs it up.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Agree with you wholeheartedly. It's just not something I care too much about. I'm almost like, maybe we'll go watch a movie instead. you know, I've gotten to that point in my life where I just don't care enough anymore. I used to care.
Yeah.
I used to care about sports so much more than I do now. It's just nowadays, I just don't. I mean, even, you know, like Mizzou basketball, I'll try to watch it that night. But if I don't get around to it, I'm not, you know, losing sleep over it kind of thing. I'll watch. What's so great about technology these days versus how it used to be, you can miss a game, and it's on there. It's online somewhere. You can always go back and watch them. So
yeah, or at least you can see the important clips.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. I agree with you on that. So yeah, no, man. I just I mean, Chris Long thing, that'd be kind of a cool storyline. You know, be good for him after all he's putting into the league. But
yeah,
man. I don't know. I don't have much interest in it at all. Really don't.
Would you rather watch the XFL?
Oh man, yeah, I think so. If I can get some WWE mixed in with some football, give me the thing about XFL. Did it used to have like storylines to go with it, like a wrestling storyline at all, or was it? I don't remember much about the XFL. I didn't watch that 30 for 30 to kind of jog my memory.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. But we were in college, and I would say we were drinking when we'd watch it. So I think they had little skits almost, but not like little storylines between the teams, if I remember right.
Because I gotta get my wrestling terms down again. Because I used to be all up in that. Because what is that, kayfabe? Is that what that's called? Where they do that the storylines, kayfabe?
Yeah.
And then, they need a little mix, a little kayfabe into the XFL, and I'll definitely be into it because that'd be awesome.
Well, I think they're just using the name because when they did it the first time for that year, it was talking about how it was going to be so extreme and the rules were going to be different and there's going to be more hitting and stuff. And now this time, Vince is like, it's going to be family friendly and we're going to protect the players. And it seems like it's the complete opposite of where it is.
So minor league football?
Maybe.
So a way for, is this going to be a way, like, was a way for high school kids to go straight to NFL kind of and get paid right away?
I don't really know. College? I have no clue.
Because you know the NCAA will try to interfere with that. Since they're such a big billion-dollar corporation, they'll go straight to the government to try and, you know, block this somehow. But if I was Vince, it's kind of like, what's that guy, Lorenzo Ball or whatever name is.
Start as an NBA Ball, league, or basketball.
The one
league
with the kids that are shitheads, you know, that stole shit in China.
Yeah.
You know, starting a league. Where'd he start a league? Like Lithuania or something like that?
Something like that.
And basically, like, high school kids go straight over there to go play professional. Would skip the 1 year rule in college for basketball. This could be a way to skip the 3 year rule in football.
Yeah.
I would hate that to happen because I love the tradition of college football. I think I'd hate that players don't get paid. It sucks for them, but I love the sport of college football. Still love that. That's something I don't get tired of.
And see, I don't know if they'd be able to draw the elite five-star prospects into the XFL because, first off, are they going to be able to pay at that level that would make it worthwhile for them? And B, how easy would it be then to go to the NFL afterwards? I mean,
I know
the original XFL. I think we saw two players make it. Tommy Maddox? He was a quarterback for the Steelers for a while.
Yeah.
And then he hate me.
Yeah, I remember that guy. That was the dumbest name ever. Yeah. It's so dumb. So, I don't know. The XFL, it doesn't draw much from me, man, to be honest with you. It just doesn't.
I think
if he would just mix wrestling into it, he has a built-in fan base anyway.
Yeah.
If he were somehow add storylines, and I don't even care if the games are fixed. At least if one knows they're fixed, you know, at least there's a storyline that'll draw your attention to it.
Yeah. And if they...
How about this? Here's how they could do it, Jay. Mm-hmm. Here's how they could draw people's attention to it. Instead of a football game taking 4 hours to play, get it done in an hour, something like that.
Yeah.
That would be a way to get your attention into it. Well, especially with today's audience that doesn't have a much attention span.
Oh, yeah. Do it in the spring. So hardcore football fans have football to watch all year then.
Yeah, that's true. And just have the refs, you know, put the flags away. Don't worry about calling a penalty on every single play.
Yeah. I would give it... I would
speed up the game.
The absolute best game would be where someone accidentally hits the ref and the ref turns around and clotheslines him.
Just gets down right into his face. Yeah. Drops a people's elbow on him.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
A ring pops up in the middle of the field, and they just go at it.
Hell yeah! So that's your penalty. Yeah, if you could call, if two guys get into a penalty, they have to go into a wrestling ring on the sideline and start fighting in the wrestling ring. That'd be awesome.
Or if you get penalized, the ring comes out, and there's like the Big Show in the ring, and you have to wrestle the Big Show.
Oh man, that'd be hilarious. Watching like some 5'7" scat back that's, you know, weighs like 140 pounds still. You gotta go fight. That'd be like Rey Mysterio, I guess, fighting the giant.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. But no, man, I mean, I know you wanted to talk about the Super Bowl because that's what the next big thing is. I guess that's coming up on Sunday, and then I know the news of the XFL, but man, they're just not, they don't draw me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. It's politicized now. They've taken the fun out of the game, where part of the fun of the game used to be the trash talking between teams, the rivalries you could have.
Yeah.
Because how much the players hated each other. And, you know, it's supposed to be a physical violence sport. That's the whole point of the sport. These guys know what they're signing up for when they decide to play that sport. It's a full contact sport. I'm sorry. I know it sucks what these guys go through, and they really did get it from head trauma. You know, that's why I like when guys know when it's time to hang it up. Like, a lot of these guys retire early now and say, I'm ready to hang it up now. And that's fine by me, but they're watering down the sport so much. It's not the same.
Yeah. I the flip side of it, though, is what does it say for the league if these guys, when they have kids old enough to play, don't want them to play because of what they went through?
I don't know. Well, it's a tough sell for them, you know.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer to that. That's just, it's just a conundrum that the league's going to have to get through. Because did you see, what was it? I thought I read somewhere who paid for it. Someone just paid like, what, $60 billion or something like that? I don't know if it was a billion. Just to air the Thursday night games now. Just one night a week kind of game that all the players hate to play that game. I don't know who was the entity that bought it, the rights for it, but God. Are people even really watching that much anymore, you know?
Yeah, I know the ratings.
Numbers were way down.
Yeah, all season they've been down, and I've heard ESPN wants to get out of their Monday night game.
Because it's costing them too much. They can't afford that contract.
Yeah.
ESPN's a dying... Once they got away from the sport and turned it more into people spitting hot takes all the time, who cares about ESPN anymore?
Yeah.
Because I used to remember watching, who was it? It was Patrick and... who was he teamed up with? The guy that's on NBC now.
Oh, Olbermann?
Yeah, him and Olbermann. But yeah, then with Stuart Scott. Yeah, those two together. That was tune in TV because it was entertainment.
Yeah.
It was funny. It wasn't politicized. It wasn't shouting. It was just looking at the highlights and making fun of the stuff they can make fun of in the highlights, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree completely. And the amount that they've been spending on sports, and all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't know if we can do this anymore. Let's cut our best talent.
Yeah, a sports journalist these days is no longer just being a sports journalist, because what do they have? You have to have an active Twitter following. You got to be on all the social media. You got to write. You got to do video. It's crazy. You can't just write columns anymore.
No, and you've got to be the guy that breaks.
You got to have a radio show too. You got to have a podcast. You have to have a podcast and a radio show to be a journalist now.
Yeah, and you got to break the big story. I mean, if you don't break the big story, someone else is going to beat you to it, and they're going to talk to him instead of you.
And it doesn't matter if it's correct or true. You just have to break it, right? That's all that matters. Oh, how it has changed. How times have changed from the old school ESPN, just looking at highlights, to where things are now, where it's nothing but hot takes. Hot takes.
It's kind of like MTV not playing music videos anymore.
Yeah. Which, do they even make, are music videos even made anymore?
Oh, yeah. You can go on YouTube and find all kinds of current music videos.
But I meant for, pop music. I've seen on YouTube, they put some things on there. I guess you're right. I guess I see some rap ones, too. They're not like the old school rap ones where you had to rap one for every single song that came out.
Yeah. Do
they have it for every song now, or is it just the one hits that they do?
I think it depends on who it is, because I know the Foo Fighters still do a lot of videos because they just enjoy making them.
Yeah.
The average band, I don't know how many of their songs from an album they'll put on YouTube. Yeah. But I did see on YouTube that the Ant and the Wasp preview came out. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched it. I don't remember a lot from it. There's very few things, you know what I mean? It's not memorable. It was good. I enjoyed it. I think I like that, though, because I've spewed about that before in regards to trailers giving away too much of what's going on.
Yeah.
The only thing I wish they wouldn't have shown was the stingers from Wasp. I don't want to see her shooting anything. And then I guess you kind of – I hope it's not the coolest thing in the movie, but when they showed the Wasp running on the knife,
yeah,
I thought that was – awesome. I hope that's not the coolest sequence in the movie, because that was really freaking cool. Thought that was an awesome little gadget trick right there, you know. That was cool.
Yeah, well, based off the way it went with the first movie, they released that clip of him fighting, and it just blew everyone away. But then that was a concern. Well, is that going to be the coolest thing we're going to see from this movie? And they proved it wasn't. I'm thinking they're saving some of this stuff, but the things that stuck out to me was when they were in the car chase and they shrunk the truck down.
Yeah.
And got under the other truck and then blew it back up.
That was cool.
Yeah. And then.
Is it the same director? Is it the same guy that directed the first one? Doing this one?
I don't know for sure. I'll pull it up real quick.
Okay.
But then I also I thought it was pretty funny, the Hello Kitty gag with the Pez dispenser.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, too. Yeah, I thought that was funny. I don't know. I guess my biggest concern is that the most intriguing storyline from Ant-Man and Wasp is obviously not between Scott Lang and, I guess this is Pym's, this is supposed to be the daughter, which it's not Janet Van Dyne, because Janet is going to be Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
Right.
The original Wasp is lost in the microverse or whatever, right?
Right.
So what's this girl's name? Is this Janet? What's her name in the movie? Do you even remember?
I don't offhand, but I'm pulling
see,
it up.
See, so. That's the thing. I love the original Ant-Man, because to be honest with you, what everybody remembers about Ant-Man is Michael Pena.
Yeah.
He's the funniest part of that damn movie. But my only concern being that is there chemistry between Scott Lang and then his daughter, which from the first movie, that's not what stood out the most to me. But if this is going to be a team-up movie, is there good chemistry between the two of them? I don't know if there is or not. I didn't get that sense from the trailer.
Yeah.
But what stinks is that they're not going to be able to take the best storyline between the Ant-Man and the Wasp, and which, you know, dealing with the marital abuse, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, from
it's drama, it's intriguing. I'm guessing because it's Disney, you'll never see that storyline.
Well, it's been kind of blown out of proportion, too, from the comic, because the comic, it was just an accidental thing that writers later on used to as a thing to bring Hank Pym down.
Yeah.
All right, so she's Hope Van Dyne.
Hope Van Dyne, that's the name. Yes. Hope, that's right.
And, yeah, it's directed by Peyton Reed. I believe he did the last
one. Yeah, he did the first one. So, okay, good trailer. Don't tell me too much. I'll tell you what, I'm avoiding all Black Panther trailers right now because I don't want to see any more. I've heard reviews are awesome for Black Panther so far, you know, initial reactions. I don't want very – I kind of just like the initial first trailers for these things, and I don't really want to watch any more after I've seen the first one.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want the movie to be spoiled for me from the trailers. I really don't. Well, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it.
We talked about this a lot when around the time of Spider-Man. We thought the whole final act of the movie was going to be on the ferry.
Yeah.
Which we were completely wrong, which I'm glad about because it made for an awesome ending for the movie. But I think Marvel is pretty good about not giving away too much.
Yeah.
And maybe at times even making us believe, oh no, they're going too far now, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, I'll give you that point, but I still think they give you too much. I just don't want it. You know, you don't have to. These Marvel movies will sell themselves. You don't really have to market them that much. You know, show as little as you need to. Because people can go see them regardless.
Oh yeah,
because they're invested in the bigger story. They're invested on all these tie-ins to see how they tie into the bigger movie with Avengers. So,
right.
I just don't need to be spoiled. That's why I don't want to see all the material beforehand.
See, and what's interesting is I've gone and I found like reactions people had to like the original Star Wars movies because it was all word of mouth. There's no internet.
Yeah.
There was like a couple previews maybe and. Everything from that, it was like people were saying they were completely shocked. They had no clue what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That the stuff with Vader being Luke's father, just no one could believe it. And I don't feel
like... there's no way to spoil it. And the internet today would spoil that. you know, you wouldn't be able to keep that under wraps. Except for... did you know Vader was going to be at the end of Rogue One before you went and saw it?
I didn't, but on my Facebook feed, it popped up an article that said... It was beforehand, and it said that... Mm-hmm. He was going to be in the movie. So I don't remember.
See, I had no idea he's going to be in any part of the movie at all, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had heard he was going to be, but I didn't know what capacity. And at that point, I'm like, no more spoilers.
Yeah. But, here, I wanted to throw a curveball at you, though, in regards to talking about Ant-Man and Black Panther and all the Marvel movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, and I guess, you had a good topic you want to throw in regards to how you fold in. The Fox characters into the Marvel Universe. Something that I found out today, Kevin Feige has a contract with Disney, and that is due at the end of phase. What we're in four right now, and I think it's due at some point after all these movies come out.
Ooh.
At the end of phase four. So you have Kevin Feige, who's the architect of all of it, right?
Yeah.
What do you do once he's out? Because if he's your main architect, and he's using more modern storylines, and... The people that created the more modern storylines are really not writers for Marvel anymore. I at least I think so. Tell me if I'm wrong, because Bendis is leaving, right?
He's already gone.
And you've got Millar, who was gone a long time ago. Long time ago.
Yeah, and he's only doing
Brubaker
his own stuff.
Hasn't been writing Marvel books for a while now, correct?
Right.
Your main big-time hitters for your main storylines that you're really playing off of, so my thoughts are they going to be running out of material as far as your big stories to use for Avenger movies? And then the other issue being Kevin Feige, if he wants to leave, wouldn't that be smart at this point? Because you'd pretty much be leaving on top. And then that really opens the Pandora's box of what do you really do once he's gone, you have to bring someone new in, and how does that new main producer fold in all those characters?
That's a lot to think about.
Or are you Kevin Feige and go, hey, Disney, Marvel, I've made this company billions upon billions of dollars at this point. What are you going to pay me to stick around? you know, look how much leverage that guy has.
Yeah.
To just be completely stupid wealthy.
Yeah. So I think they could really go back and modernize older stories.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think they'd run out of story ideas. I think there's going to be new stories coming out. They have tons of old stories they haven't touched on. Like Avengers, Kang the Conqueror is a big bad guy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's time travel, there's resetting,
mm-hmm.
resetting the story, but
go Dark Avengers.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. But you'd have to fold Norman Osborn in there somehow. Pretty big. You'd have to find someone really good to play Norman Osborn.
Yeah. And you'd have to probably establish him first in the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. But, what I'd heard today was that Feige he said his favorite movies are the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And that just gives you an alarm bell to go off going, huh, Last Jedi, which we'll talk about later, was met with mixed reviews, right?
Yeah.
Didn't perform as well as they projected. It's making its money regardless, you know, it's Star Wars. Doesn't perform over in China, but I don't think any Star Wars movies perform over in China. There's been a lot of issues with the Solo movie, you know, as far as just we still haven't seen a trailer for it. It comes out in a few months here. Heard that's a huge mess. If you're Kevin Feige, do you go, you guys want me to work on Star Wars? Can you kick Kathleen Kennedy out of there and let him start taking over? Or does she have a death grip on that Star Wars thing? Or do you want the guy that knows how to do what they're trying to do? Basically, kind of using the same formula over in Star Wars as they're doing over in Marvel.
Yeah.
You've got your main story with your big pictures, and you have your tie-ins to it.
Universe building.
Yeah, exactly. So do you want... I thought that would be pretty interesting to see Feige take over the Star Wars world.
I think Kathleen Kennedy has complete control over there, and that we won't see her leaving for the foreseeable future.
And the question being why? You know, I'd question why when you... I liked Force Awakens. Mixed reviews on that one too, kind of.
Yeah.
You know? Last Jedi even more so. You know, could they have wavering faith in her ability to produce high quality films? I don't know.
Yeah.
Although I think a lot of people would probably be like, just give it to Dave Filoni. Let him do it all. I don't know if you'd even want that kind of responsibility or not.
Yeah.
But here's the real curveball. You know, it'd be really smart by a certain company
DC.
Named Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
If they were not stupid, they'd probably go, hey, Kevin Feige, can you fix our really fucked up universe and make it better, please?
I could see them trying to plant the seeds already.
What, Warner Brothers to get him the sway over to DC side?
Yeah.
They need to.
Yeah.
They really, really need to. I don't know if there's enough money in the world at this point, you know.
But
if Disney wants them, Disney's going to keep them, you know.
Yeah. But here's the thing Warner Brothers can do. They can say, you built that from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
We're lower than scratch right now. If you can build this up, you will be a legend.
I just don't know, man. I don't know what Warner Brothers is doing with their properties, man. Like, I'm never up to speed on the Arrowverse shows on WB anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, CW, not WB. God, I'm old.
Yeah, same difference.
I know. But I'm not caught up on that, but apparently there's going to be a Krypton show on Sci-Fi, right?
I think it's already started.
It has, okay. And then you've got Gotham, I watch it just because I love Batman.
Yeah.
And there's good parts of it. There's things to find to enjoy about it. It's just not consistently very good. And then now I just heard they're coming out with a show called Metropolis. Have you heard about this yet?
I heard a little bit about it, yeah.
And it's the showrunners of Gotham just trying to do the same thing with Metropolis. But I'm like, guys, Superman's rogues gallery is not what makes Superman a character that people love. They love watching Superman.
Yeah.
And why do they keep wanting to give us shows without Superman?
Right.
Because someone made a good point saying Smallville didn't have Superman. I was like, ah, at least Clark was in there. You know, at least they had Clark. And I love Smallville. You know how I am about Smallville.
It's
one of my favorite shows of all time.
Well, they also had Clark moving in that direction, and you see how he gets there.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you're trying to give us all these shows without the most important part of Superman.
And
why? What do you got? What is WB? What are they trying to do? Why can't they get a grasp on the fact that Superman is one of the most iconic characters? And I know you're not the biggest Superman fan. I don't know. Where do you stand on Man of Steel?
I like it. I think it's one of the better movies.
Okay. You get what I'm getting at here. Superman is a character that people want to like.
Oh, yeah.
There's something, you know, they want to like him. They just want good stories from him. And there's got to be a way to get these guys to go put him front and center somewhere and get it right. Just, you guys fucked up with Justice League. Start over. Start over with Man of Steel 2. Start where it should have. He is your big hitter. You start with him. I have full faith that the Matt Reeves Batman stories are going to be great too. And I don't believe they should be just one of the standalones. I do like the fact that they want to be just good movies. Yes, be a good movie. And the thing about that WB doesn't understand is make it a good movie and just sprinkle in the fact that they're going to be tied into the big picture. Marvel movies don't ever make it like they have to be beholden to what's going to happen in the Avenger movie, you know?
Right.
They just sprinkle it in a little bit and just make references here and there.
Well, yeah. I mean,
like Winter Soldier is the best example. There's a little bit of hints in there, but it's a great movie on a standalone on its own, but it sprinkles in the big picture, you know?
Right, and with the Ant-Man and Wasp preview, I mean, they show you a little bit of what happened in Civil War, but it seems like they're off on their own thing, dealing with the repercussions of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I just don't get it, because I understand Gotham being a TV show, because that's one of the best things about Batman, is his rogues gallery.
Right.
And the villains for Batman are sometimes more popular than the heroes for Batman. Some people actually like the villains better.
Yeah.
And that show works because it focuses on the villain side of things. But I don't know how that's going to work for Metropolis, because I guess that's what they're going to do, is focus on the villains. Because what else can you do? What else are you going to do about Metropolis?
Yeah.
What stories can you tell?
Okay, and here's the thing. A random person can name a bunch of Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Lex...
Yeah.
Who will a common person know? Maybe Zod?
Because we've seen Zod twice. He's not, if they're trying to ground it, because that's the thing with Batman character villains, they're grounded, right?
Right.
Superman's character's not grounded because he's not a grounded character. He's an alien. And his best rogues are aliens. Zod's an alien. Brainiac is an alien.
Yep.
I mean, Darkseid is an alien.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't get it. I don't know what they're doing over there. I really don't. And for as good as Geoff Johns had for a run, so the fact that he's in charge of being the creative officer behind all of this,
was,
I don't think this guy has a clue how to run, you know, the TV side and the movie side. He just doesn't get it, I guess.
Well,
I just don't know who's really running it.
He was recently replaced, too.
That just tells you he should probably just not be involved, I guess.
Right.
And that's why I'm like, God, dude, Warner Brothers, you're going to want to throw a ton of money at Feige and just say, try to fix this.
See, I think part of their problem was they're trying to be too ambitious. They saw the end result of Marvel and tried to jump straight to it. So instead of a slow build up to Justice League and introducing everyone, they jumped almost right into it.
Yeah.
And then
they just
something like Suicide Squad should have worked. Like, I think they saw Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, this is something different. It worked for Marvel.
Yeah.
But they didn't look at the fact that there was like 7 movies before that one came out.
Yeah. Well, I don't... Yeah, I mean... Suicide Squad... It made money. It did, though. It made money.
It was a fun
movie.
Because
the trailers were freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Those trailers sold everybody.
It was
Say what you will about it, you can still find parts of it that you like. As bad as it was in some ways, I can still say that there's parts that everyone liked about it.
I didn't mind it. I mean, it was like a mindless action movie. I mean, if you sat back and just enjoyed it for what it was, it was fun.
Yeah. All right. And can I get you on board with me saying that Jared Leto should never play the Joker again? Can I please get you on board with that?
I don't know if it was necessarily him.
Lord, man, I'm telling you, he's awful. He's awful. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't.
My way of looking at the Joker is, we've had so many people write the character. I can see different interpretations every time someone else plays him.
I get that viewpoint. I understand that. And I'm okay with it. He had his turn. I was like, one was good enough. Sometimes writers write one run of the comic and they're never back again because it just didn't work.
Well, you know? And the other thing is with his performance, we only saw a fraction of what he shot.
Yeah.
So maybe that wasn't even the best stuff.
I don't know, man. I just don't like
He's a good actor.
I just don't like his interpretation of the character, I guess.
Yeah. And, I mean, part of it could have been writing, too. I mean, the writing in the movie was not.
But the writing, I guess, did the writer say, act this way for this character, you know?
Yeah.
Or does he get to put some input into that and say, I'm gonna put a spin on your writing with the way I'm going to act out your words, you know? I don't know how specific the writer say, you need to act like this way and look this certain way,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's a big part for me, too, is the look. That's not my favorite look for the Joker.
You didn't like the tattoos and the gold teeth?
No. It just doesn't work for me. It just really doesn't.
All right. We touched on it, but
yeah.
How would you integrate the Fox Marvel properties into the MCU?
Carefully. Very carefully. And don't just throw... excuse me. Don't just throw Wolverine in every movie.
Right.
You have so many characters that are really good characters that have done right. You don't need to throw Wolverine in every movie to make it sell. I know he's going to be, you know, how else are we going to make money if people don't know who the characters are in the movie? Who's going to want to go see that movie? Who knew about the Guardians of the Galaxy and people still want to go see that movie, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's too much proof out there that you don't need to rush in and go, here you go, it's Wolverine versus Hulk. First movie we're ever going to do is Wolverine versus Hulk or something right. like that.
And you took the second Ant-Man, the lesser-known Ant-Man, and yeah, turned it into exactly. a successful movie.
Yeah, yeah. I think the smart play, and we touched on this a little bit, I guess, last time. I don't know. I can't remember for sure. You've got to get Fantastic Four right. You've got to, because of how important Reed Richards is to the overall Marvel universe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because they're your reset. Whenever something goes wrong, time travel with Reed messing with something, trying to better the world somehow. I think the Illuminati is something really important to the Marvel universe, because you can do a lot of great stories from that. You can do a lot of resets, you know?
Yeah.
Off of that. A lot of good branching off stories to one-offs, you know? Use your Illuminati with, you know, Xavier and Reed and Black Panther and the Tony and who else is in there?
Black Bolt. They might want to avoid him.
Black Bolt. You can, well, eventually Inhumans will get rolled back in maybe, but be very careful.
Yeah.
Be very careful with Inhumans because that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths on that one.
Well, and it's officially been canceled, so.
You know what I mean, though, but people are not sold on those characters. When they should be. That they're good characters when done right. I think that, like I said, because also if you get Fantastic Four right, that means you're going to get Doctor Doom right. And I think Doctor Doom is your Joker. I don't know if that's a great comparison, but basically I was just trying to say probably your best villain.
Right.
I mean, DC has so many great villains. I think Marvel, if you want to use your best villains, this is it. And then for your big hitters, you're going to have Galactus.
Right.
And that's why Fantastic Four is so important, because if you're going to do something where it's... You have to have a threat big enough for the Avengers to come together. Pretty sure Galactus is going to be your guy. Avengers come together.
And the big complaint about Marvel movies has been the lack of good villains. You've had Loki, mm-hmm. and then it's like the TV show guys, the Netflix guys. It's because they're lacking the big ones that they have rights to. And it's Doctor Doom. It's Magneto.
I want them to fold in. I liked the Fantastic Four from Josh Trank.
Yeah.
I liked what they were trying to do in regards to using younger characters, a younger Reed.
Right.
Basically, again, I've told you how many times to read Ultimate Fantastic Four. But if you do Ultimate Fantastic Four right, that series turns into a movie itself. Because that's what Millar always did well with, always does well with his books. They're movies, just in book form.
Yep.
They look like screenplays. You know, they just look and read like screenplays. I think trying to go that way is fine. I don't mind if you do use an older Reed Richards. I just want them to get Reed right so they can get the Illuminati right. And then you can go and do Planet Hulk. I still haven't even seen Thor Ragnarok.
I still haven't.
And I know they touched on it a little bit, but maybe you can finally do a Planet Hulk right, live action. And so you can do the whole story. And then you can do World War Hulk coming back. And that can be Avengers versus Hulk kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And have all the characters come in, because you're going to have to try to take down him. I want them to do X-Men right. And I mean, what I mean by doing X-Men right, I know they did First Class, but I mean, I really want the first class. I want Scott. I want Angel. I want Beast before he turns blue. I want, I want Jean Grey in there. And I don't know if that's going to be what we're seeing in Dark Phoenix kind of thing, what we kind of got a glimpse of in Apocalypse, but scrap those movies, man. I'm telling you, I know we're going to get Dark Phoenix no matter what, but you kind of just retcon from there, recast everybody, and go young. Get these kids in there where they're teenagers, you know?
Yeah.
Don't make them adults like they did in their first Singer verse, you know? Don't do that.
Right.
And then you can bring in Wolverine later. You can. These things can be successful. And then you know what the big setup is when you get Avengers versus X-Men.
Yep.
Because that storyline writes itself. That was a movie. That crossover event, which did you read the whole crossover event?
Yeah, I did.
It's a good event. It was a good thing. And you have to build up to that, though, with your X-Men movies.
Yeah. I have an idea in mind how they could do it, but they would have to get the sale done like ASAP to make this work.
Okay.
When Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet, we know he's going to end up changing something. Something's going to get rewritten, and whether it means we get new actors coming in as Iron Man, Captain America, to replace the guys that are getting too old or costing too much.
Yeah.
Why can't Reed Richards and his crew be up in space when that happens and that causes the accident that gives them their powers?
Okay.
So that's your setup for Fantastic Four. Okay. When he goes in and does whatever he does to change everything, you retcon it, mutations start happening. Your mutants are back to being your mutants instead of the Inhumans. Because that's what they've tried to do with the Inhumans is make them what the mutants are in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you, the second Infinity War, you could set everything up perfectly to make it all work. But I don't know they have enough time to get that done. Like rewritten, reshot, add those guys in. I mean, a Fantastic Four post-credit scene of them in space getting hit with the cosmic rays coming from the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You're set up to go, to bring them in.
Yeah. You know, you're just saying how to fold them in. You got to get... Do you see what I'm saying? How important Fantastic Four is to all of it? They're just so important to everything. They're just... You can't get this wrong again.
Yeah.
You've had three strikes against you. Guys, you can't get this wrong. You got to get this right. You got to.
Yeah.
It's, they're too important to the big picture of things. So, and I just... What I'm excited for is that you have House of M that they're going to be able to do.
Oh yeah.
I hope they do, but you can't do that too soon, right? That's gotta be one of your ending things where maybe if you want to read, you know, you got a retcon after that, you know, I don't know what you use House of M for, but that's such a good storyline. And it just stinks that they've already used Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, and Civil War was just so good. Now they can't go back and use it. They really can't.
And they didn't have some of the key parts to it with, like, Reed being... Like, the division of the Fantastic Four on both sides.
I know. Maybe they can, because we'll say it's a reboot of the universe, and they just... They actually give us the exact reason why they do Civil War. I don't know. Could you do it again, you think? Or is that just... Is it going to be too soon to do that?
I would think it's too soon to do that.
God, that sucks, though. It really sucks that you can't just use the book as the complete outline and just use it as your blueprint of saying, we're going to do it exactly like the book was because how good that was.
Yeah, you could set up Secret Wars, or not Secret Wars, Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion would be fun, yeah.
I mean, they could even...
Oh, that would be real fun.
With Captain Marvel, the Skrulls are going to be in it, so they could be setting the seeds for that right now.
I would hope so. Because we don't have a clue what happens after the second Infinity War movie, right? What's that even going to be called?
Is
that,
they haven't announced it yet? No, they haven't announced it.
Okay. I just... God. Yeah. See, there's just the opportunities are... limitless, you know? There's so much they can do.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what do they choose to do, and it's a matter of who's in control of it. If Feige leaves, do they still have the same quality? Who knows? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, because if you bring
takes over, he's going to have a lot of toys to play with.
Yeah. And the problem is, if you bring in someone outside to try to do it, you might have a different voice on it than what you initially had.
Yeah.
And I guess they could find someone that's in-house that knows... Mm-hmm. The Feige method, I guess, and just follow it.
Yeah, I guess that would be the smart move. Yeah.
All right, so let's jump from mainstream to more indie comic stuff. Why don't we see more Image comic properties becoming movies and TV shows?
Because producers of movies are not going to take a gamble on something that doesn't have a somewhat guaranteed return. Even with the worst Marvel movie, let's say, or even a bad DC movie, they're still going to come back and break even. No one wants to break even. All their shareholders don't want them to break even. But taking the gamble, I mean, like we talked about that last time. How many movies are remakes, reboots, sequels? You know, they don't want to take that risk to use original material, and that's what Image is. Everything with Image is original material.
Yeah.
But you are seeing where risks are taken around television.
Yeah.
And you do see some Image things. I mean, you're going to have the Millarverse on Netflix at some point. Yeah. I don't know which books of his are really going to be on Netflix, and I don't know if they're going to be TV shows or are they going to be movies, which that's a good place to take your risk to is, hey, all comic book nerds that love all Millar stuff, it's all going to be on Netflix. That was a good move by them, in my opinion.
Yeah, the problem there is, though, they didn't get the full library because he had licensed out so much of it beforehand because it seemed like Millar's doing a new book, and it's already been licensed out to a production company.
I know. Well, or it's been so long, maybe those had expirations to them where if they didn't actually do something with it, kind of like if they didn't make a Fantastic Four movie or a Spider-Man movie every X amount of years, the rights revert back kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe that's what happened. I don't know if that's... Or do you know for a fact Netflix doesn't have his whole library?
I know for a fact they don't, because...
Oh, well, okay.
Because, I mean, Kick-Ass is...
Well, that's already produced, yeah.
Right, but
unless you want to do a TV show for it now or something like that,
or if you want to go and explore Hit Girl or something,
because
I mean they've done that in the comics, so. But
yeah, I mean it's not that it hasn't been tried. Like I guess one of the Images. Well, no, that's Vertigo. Never mind. I got Vertigo mixed up in there. I was thinking Why Last Man.
Yeah.
I know they've tried to do Why Last Man a few times, but just fell through. But like Chew, the comic book Chew, I see that as a TV show more than I see as a movie.
And
it's a police procedural.
Yeah, and there's talks of that for a while, but I don't know what's ever happened with it.
Yeah, that's a hard sell, man, because it's a weird concept. It's such a good book. It's a fantastic book. It's just trying to teach, or not teach people, but sell people on what the concept is. When you tell someone what's about, like even when you tell a comic book person what that's about, they go, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's messed up. I'll try to read it, sure, you know? But trying to do it for a TV show or something like that, but... You know, Saga, that's a TV show to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's a space epic, space opera kind of thing. I
guess it's just frustrating to see them missing the opportunity where they could take Invincible and say, from Robert Kirkman, the guy that made The Walking Dead. And
which
you
I think
instantly
they're doing. No, Invincible is going to be on something. They're adapting that to TV. But I don't know who got it. I don't know if HBO got it or something. I think Rogan and his partner... I don't remember what his name is. The same guy's doing Preacher with him.
Goldberg.
I think they got Invincible too.
Okay.
But I don't know if they're... Invincible cannot be on AMC. Just like, I haven't watched Preacher.
Yeah.
I don't think I really have much interest because it doesn't belong on AMC. That's not a book that you put on AMC.
That should be an HBO Showtime type show.
Yeah, absolutely. And Invincible is absolutely... For as much of a superhero-driven story it is, there's a lot of adult topics that it takes on. Tons of adult topics that it takes on. And it's bloody and gory and graphic as all get out. And you're gonna take away the essence of what made the book so good by watering it down on AMC. You just are.
And I think that's gonna be the problem with a lot of the Image books. They can't be on something like AMC or FX because of the content in them. Because I'm looking at my bookshelf. I got East to West here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Western, but there's so much like cursing and graphic nudity and stuff in it. No cable channel would do it. It would have to go premium.
Yep.
And then like Saga. Saga's the same way. Yep. What else do I got here?
Well, what's the Image book I was just going to say? Spawn. Spawn's going to get another movie, though.
Amazingly.
Yeah, which I'm curious. I'm curious about it.
Yeah, I am too.
I will go see it, actually, just because how curious I am. I can't tell you last time I read a Spawn book.
Yeah.
I used to be a huge Spawn fan. That's one of the first books that ever got me into reading comics. But,
and I actually read today, too, that Cowboy Ninja Viking is still in production someplace with Chris Pratt as the lead in it.
Hmm. Okay. So, I mean, it's not that they just don't have them. Again, they're number three, and they just don't have as much pull. Which it's a shame because a ton of amazing books are over there, but they're a risk. That's the reason why. They're just a risk to produce that because they don't have as big a following and they're not in the zeitgeist of society saying, oh, it's a Superman movie. Superman's a movie. I can go see that. You say that, I don't know, give me an Image character. Give, or All right. Give me some.
Here, the book Criminal. I just finished reading the whole series. And it was 7 volumes. There could be 7 standalone movies because each one doesn't connect to the next one. It's got some overlapping characters.
Yeah.
But each one is a standalone story. But I don't know how well a noir crime story would do in a movie.
Yeah, Sin City did well.
Yeah. I mean, the first did one well. Did. Yeah.
But Sin City did well because, well, one, it's a good story. Or a good story. I guess you say stories, right?
Right.
If you want to say it like that. But I think it's because of how unique the look of it was.
Yeah.
I think people were drawn to the theater because of how just different aesthetically it looked.
Well, and film nerds knew that, like, Robert Rodriguez was doing it and Frank Miller was going to co-direct it with them. So
yeah,
the deep cut stuff.
Yeah. So there's I think the market, it's just finding the right market to put Image books somewhere. And like I said, put them on Netflix, put them on Hulu, put them on a premium channel of some kind. And there's the people will watch it because their stories are so good. They do have a ton of good stories. Some of them stories are really out there, though.
Yeah.
They have a lot of out there stuff because writers have the freedom to do so out there. But there's a market, and it's just a matter of tapping into it at the right place. And I don't think you're ever going to see it at a big studio. Because even Spawn is being produced by Blumhouse, which does all the smaller horror movies.
Yeah. So there might be another aspect to it, too, that I just thought about. Marvel owns all their characters, so it's easy for them as a company to say, here, we're gonna make movies with our characters.
Mm-hmm.
The characters at Image are owned by the creators. Mm-hmm. And so you probably run into creators that don't necessarily want to deal with the movie side of it. Or you can't.
Or it's a matter of the money they want for it.
Right.
You know, how much money they want. What's the share? Are they going to say, it's mine, and I, or maybe they want to direct it. A lot of writers are basically, they are directors. They're just, their storyboards are the page.
Right.
They write screenplays for every issue they do. That creative control is probably something hard to give up to.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you don't have Image as a company going out pushing them because there's not any real benefit for them to get movies made.
Yeah, there's not. You're absolutely right. All the money goes back to the creators. So it's just up to the creator to want to push it, you know?
All right. So the big thing I've been wanting to talk to anybody about, Star Wars.
Okay.
All right. So what were your thoughts on The Last Jedi?
I saw it twice in theater because the first time I saw it, I kind of left not underwhelmed or overwhelmed. I was whelmed.
Yeah.
I think is the term I wanted to use. I was just whelmed. The Leia thing, that bothered me a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because it just looked weird. Whether or not, how powerful a Force user she really was, or it just seems like, we all know Carrie Fisher's dead before we see that movie.
Yeah.
Pretty good spot to just take. I thought that was it. That would have been perfect. Good way to end the story, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A warrior's death, She died fighting the battle.
Yeah, the flip side of it is, though, they have all this other footage of her filmed already.
Yeah.
And it would be a shame to let that go to waste.
Yeah.
And I thought they had a second point they could have taken her out. And when Haldo goes and does the hyperspace jump through their ships, that could have very easily been Leia because she's always been very hands-on. Haldo tries to stop her. She stuns her and says, take her. I'm going to do this. And then ride around right there because she doesn't have much left in the movie.
Perfect. I'm on board with that as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of missed opportunity in there. I liked the Kylo and Rey interaction.
Yeah.
I liked their chemistry together. I liked where they tried to trick you that, Kylo can be turned, which they did that when he didn't fire on his mom's ship. You saw the conflict within him.
Well, even in the previous movie, you saw that with him when he killed Han, because it's like, oh, he's gonna turn. Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess the fact that they built up Snoke to be this all-powerful, even more, more devious and more deceptive and more one of the strongest Sith Lords, or even more strong than Sidious, And so all that mystery, that shroud of mystery of, who is he, what's his real lineage, and who's he tied to?
Yeah.
And really, it was just a big flat blue, like air coming off a balloon.
Yeah.
it didn't live up to the hype. His villainness did not live up to the hype.
And I've got two thoughts on that. First off, they're going to end up going back and doing that in books and stuff. Which I think is becoming a crutch for Disney with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because they're using the books to fill in the stories that the casual Star Wars fan is not going to go and look at. I mean, I've read almost everything. I've got like 4 books here I haven't read yet. But like, I've read Phasma, and it was disappointing because there were some aspects of the character in the book that were really cool, but then she's lame in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Very lame in the movies.
Right. And then with...
But shouldn't be, because she looks badass.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So...
And then... Like with The Force Awakens, a lot of the complaints was people didn't understand what was going on in the rest of the galaxy when the First Order destroys the Senate and then that whole system.
Because they skipped all over it, you know? They didn't show any of it. You need to show it, in my opinion.
Because they put it in a book. It was in the Bloodline book where they set all that up and how the First Order came to power. And that's stuff that casual people probably need to know, so they are drawn into the story a little bit more.
Yeah. Which I get... The book should enhance your experience, because like I said with Catalyst.
Yeah.
Catalyst only enhanced my enjoyment of Rogue One. I mean, that's why I loved Rogue One so much.
Yeah.
Because I knew the background. But I shouldn't have to read the book to enjoy the movie. I shouldn't have to. And I think that, like you said, they're relying on those books too much to fill in the gaps too much.
So I'm going to go into this more in a little bit. But the other issue with Snoke is JJ built him up in The Force Awakens, make him seem like this big bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rian Johnson didn't do anything with it. And that was seen throughout the movie, that there were so many plot threads that were left open that weren't touched upon or just kind of thrown away.
Yep.
Race parentage, the Knights of Ren. I mean, it just goes on. There's so much that Disney did a disservice to both JJ and Rian Johnson by not having one cohesive story through all 3 movies. And I know people love to bash the prequels, but the prequels were all written by George Lucas. That it was one story all the way through.
Yep.
The original trilogy, while he didn't write Empire, he had the storyline in place for the writers to go by. So it was all his story.
Yeah.
Here we're seeing JJ's story, then Rian Johnson's story, and then we're going to go back and see JJ's story again. So we'll see some of those loose ends tied up, but it's not going to be one cohesive trilogy.
It won't make sense. They'll be like, well, what?
Right.
Where was this in the last movie?
Right.
You know?
And writing off the Knights of Ren, they're with other parts of the First Order fleet throughout the galaxy taking it over. That's fine. You can say that after the fact, but they didn't even touch on them.
And that's covered in a book somewhere?
No, they haven't done anything with that.
Okay.
So
I'm going through my timeline of books right now.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where I'm at in regards. Like I just finished Dark Disciple. Mm-hmm. Jay, that book was 42 chapters long.
Yeah.
That's about 22 chapters too long, to be honest with you. That writer drug that book on so long.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I was like, and I loved it. It was so fast paced, and where I thought it should have ended, it just didn't. It kept going and going. Yeah. I'm like, my God, just end it already.
Yeah. It would have been much better as part of the Clone Wars.
But getting back to The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Tons of, like I said, I saw it twice. My first time just whelmed coming out. Second time, I liked it a lot better.
Yeah.
I knew what to look past. Like I can go, okay, here's the part of the movie I'm not going to enjoy. Just kind of zone out a little bit on those.
Yeah.
Kind of pick it back up on the parts I know I'm going to enjoy, and just focus. The fact that you got to see Luke at the end do what he did.
Yeah.
Kind of made it everything worthwhile. Although, kind of disappointed that I didn't get to see more of Luke.
Yeah.
Doing what I wanted to see Luke do. Which was see him display his full power as a full-on Jedi Master.
Yeah.
You know, and just school some fools with a lightsaber, use his Force powers, because what he did at the end, that's Yoda level, you know? That's Yoda level Force ability. And the fact that now we don't get to see it anymore, that's a huge disappointment to me.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to do that to Luke. You just didn't. I don't think he did. I would have loved to have seen his story end in the next one, where you go, okay, now we're done with this whole trilogy. We're done with the Skywalker saga. Because it would have been nice to see the true conflict between, to see if Luke could really get Ben to turn, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess they're just trying to say that that's not going to be possible. There's no way that Ben's going to turn. So
yeah, I think part of the issue is too is the next movie was supposed to be Carrie Fisher's movie for Leia, mm-hmm. and had they known what was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
Leia probably would have died, and Luke would have probably made it onto the next movie.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess you're right.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. Yeah. I know a lot of people were upset about how Luke was portrayed in the movie. That he was, I mean, to our generation that grew up with the original movies, Luke mm-hmm. was like a god.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him as like the shell of himself.
Basically a throw-off character, that, to be honest with you, a throwaway, yeah. you know? So.
But this goes back to the books. And I'm in the middle of reading The Legend of Luke Skywalker, and mm-hmm. it put the whole movie in perspective for me.
Yeah.
The legend of Luke had gotten to the point where he couldn't live up to it.
Yeah.
And between that and the failure with Ben, he didn't know how to react to it, and he just pulled away.
Yeah.
And
but the book, you have to read the book to get
exactly.
all that, which I shouldn't have to read the book to get that.
Exactly.
Shouldn't have to. So.
Because I am one of 5% of the people that have seen Star Wars that will sit down and read every single one of these books.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sit there and I explain that to people, well, they're like, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I never would have known if you weren't such a big nerd.
Which the books, like I said, Dark Disciple, and I like I told you, I read most of Lords of the Sith. That's right, Lords of the Sith, right?
Yeah.
The books are good. They're enjoyable. They're a bit too long. It reminds me of, George R. I haven't read Game of Thrones all the way through. I've only started the first book. But I know what the big complaint about his books are is being too long because they're just too descriptive.
Yeah.
Same with these Star Wars books. I'm wondering if this is just a trend in sci-fi writing or fantasy writing, you know, where you have to be overly descriptive. And I'm like, just get on with the plot and get on with the story and let's get to action, you know. And it's just, I don't know.
And see, I feel the same way about Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they all have in common is they're unique worlds where you kind of have to explain some of these nuances. That
yeah, but you don't have to spend 1,000 pages to do it.
Oh, I agree.
Don't.
I agree.
Yeah.
So. I mean, because I've never made it through through the Lord of the Rings. I've read the first book. I couldn't get through the second one.
That's rough to get through just because of the language used.
Yeah, and the singing and
yeah. But I Last Jedi, do I hate it? No, I don't hate it. Do I like it? I like it the more I watch it. And I get a Star Wars movie. You know, I'm not gonna complain as long as I get a Star Wars movie. That's
right.
Least enjoyable. It's not complete dog shit like some overreactors are doing, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact that I like the point you made about there not being a cohesive story going all the way through now, that's going to bother me. Now that you made that point, I kind of get to dwell on that point now. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Now that JJ is going to come back, he's going to close his plot holes, I think. He's going to go back and all those threads that he started in the first one, I think, yeah, he'll end in the third one.
Yeah.
And then it just leads me to go, what are we going to do? What's the focus going to be the next trilogy? Because if it's going to focus, is it going to be Rey from this point forward? Is that going to be what your next trilogy is going to be? Because that was a letdown for me, too. I didn't need her to be tied to the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
But I wanted her to be tied into the Star Wars story. And the fact that she's just a nobody, that kind of bothers me a little bit. It just does. If anyone that disagrees with that opinion, that's fine. It doesn't bother me that people would disagree with it. But for me personally, I really did want her to have a lineage that's tied to a character in the story.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this because I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to show anybody can have a tie to the Force.
Yeah.
I mean, between her and the stable boy at the end grabbing the broom.
Yeah.
So I get that. But yeah, it would be fun throwback. I mean, most of us have put 40 years into these movies, or mm-hmm. close to.
Yeah.
And so I get that they want to. I get that each new trilogy that comes out is for that generation of Star Wars fans. Mm-hmm. So the kids that saw the prequels in the theaters love the prequels, where
mm-hmm.
our generation doesn't have that appreciation for them.
Yeah.
And I watch my kids with these new movies, and that was me as a kid.
Yeah.
And so that's. They aren't for me. They're for my kids. If I can get enjoyment out of them, I get enjoyment out of them.
Mm, good point. Yeah, I can see you on that point. I don't. And even with the prequels, I get more of it, the fact that if anyone goes back and watches the Clone Wars cartoon, you'll get more enjoyment out of the prequels out of that cartoon than you would the movies, to be honest with you. Because had they done the movies like they did the cartoon, you'd be like, okay, now this makes sense. Now this is good. They're hitting on some good stuff in here.
Oh, yeah. And and you understand a little more of the transition of Anakin between 2 and 3. So Matt and I ended it there. Skype actually crashed, so we didn't get to finish our conversation, but that was a good stopping point. I didn't get a touch on it, but I really liked The Last Jedi. Yeah, there were issues with it, but like I said, it's a movie for my kids. It's the new generation of Star Wars fans, and I had no problem with that. I definitely want to go see it again. Everyone I've talked to that have seen it a second, see how much more I like them. For more from the Nerdcast podcast, other podcasts I do, go to nerdcast.com. That's NYRDCAST. You can find us on social media, any of the social media platforms, just search Nerdcast. We're part of the Inside Joke, Outside Voice podcast network. It's IJOV.net. There you can find other great podcasts.
The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids.